Opinions expressed in our talk shows are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or ownership of WGCH Radio.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up?
This is a big party, man.
Yeah, brother, dig it.
Stop right on.
Mother, there's too many of you. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Defy and Hustle. This is Noreen, and I hope you're all enjoying this beautiful day that we're having. And I wanted to welcome you to the show. I wanted to, of course, introduce you to my beautiful co-host. She doesn't like beautiful, but I'm going with it each time. So it's Kelly.
You can also go with intelligent.
You are intelligent.
Pensive. Witty.
Pensive. My pensive co-host, Kelly. Well, we'll find out if she's pensive because we've
hello,
got some
everybody.
Topics for you tonight.
What are you pensing about?
I know.
And existence.
That voice you're hearing in the background, we have our operations manager here at WGCH, Mr. Bob Small.
Yay, where's the applause? Bob. I don't have any applause.
You know, here, it's applause for Bob. He's running the show over here, so we have to give him a lot of applause. So, Bob.
Yes.
I don't know where I came across this, but you know how information gets to you nowadays on the internet. And I saw something about people who are retiring, or I don't know that retiring altogether, but they're just going on cruise ships. It was the article. It was initially about floating cities, and that's where our
it's pretty culture's going. Futuristic concept.
Yeah.
So cruise ships are going to get bigger. Is that what where we're heading here?
Cruise ships. What's happening is people are retiring onto cruise ships, even for a minimum of 6 months.
Oh, okay.
Where they get long-term care.
Oh.
And so you basically go onto a cruise ship.
What happens after that?
You can stay on the cruise ship if you really don't want to get off, because they're supposed to be anywhere from $40,000 to $80,000 a year. And you have a clinic on the boat, so for health purposes, all your health needs are met on the boat, your food, your entertainment. And, for example, there's one cruise that starts in Miami, and some of these start at $20,000. So this makes sense. If you're going to go live for 6 months on a boat, you can go from Miami to Europe to Asia to Africa and just live on a boat, and it's...
I wonder if that's all-inclusive, right? So it's like all the food and all the drink and all the doctor... Well, maybe not doctor visits, but maybe.
I don't know if it's all-inclusive, but, I mean, would you ever consider something like that, Bob?
Yeah. I think if it was properly priced, that
right?
Sounds kind of attractive.
Well, for even if it's 40 grand, that's cheaper than probably living...
Yeah, but does it include, like...
Right, it has
to
include.
Give them my insurance, so to speak?
I think it's not even... I'm not even sure. Sorry, folks. Yeah. I don't know all the details, but I do know it's the emergence of something that's supposed to...
Alternative lifestyle.
Be an alternative lifestyle, especially as our planet starts changing, but of floating cities. So as I was looking at that, I was a little fascinated by that because I thought how cool they're coming up with ways so you don't have to go retire to a gated community in Florida and spend whatever, $250,000 and use all your retirement savings and above that go on and need health care above and beyond that. Mm-hmm. So it's all taken care of on the boat, plus you float around and see things. But when I was looking at this, something else came to my attention and I thought it was really interesting because it got me to stop and really look through a different lens. And I wanted to bring it up on the radio show. It's called The Three Kindnesses. And it was something that came up because the articles around the cruise ship were talking about climate change and changes that are taking place on our planet. And so...
Right. And so it was kind of their stance to make a more sustainable alternative for our communities and for our society, hopefully.
It was more like when you go down the rabbit hole that is our internet. So if you look at one thing, all these other things pop
right.
up. And so I saw something called the three kindnesses. And so it wasn't through the cruise ship article because I really didn't research that like crazy. But this came to my attention, and I found it changed my perspective. And so the three kindnesses, apparently, it's a way of looking at life, but it's something the person who was discussing it was explaining what they are. And she was pointing out that the earth – should we go into the three kindnesses?
Yeah, what are the three
kindnesses? All right, Kelly, you know them. Why don't you talk for a second?
So Noreen, what was it? It was yesterday, you think – or I can't remember when. But you came in and you're like, I just heard these three kindnesses, and you shared it with me. And the first was to be kind to the earth. So the earth first. And the second was to be kind to yourself, so putting the individual you second. And then to be kind to others, so putting the community and people around you third. And I instantly, I was just like, well, of course. This, I mean, I resonated instantaneously.
Yeah,
and it definitely is
a bit of a swami,
a way to live your life. And I mean, it makes sense that in order to function optimally, we first have to give precedent to what allows us to do so. So it's like the earth is my resource. I'm my own engine. So I have to give to myself and put myself first, or put the earth first, to be able to be, again, at my like optimum peak high performance to give and show up for life.
It was being pointed out in the article about the three kindnesses that as a humanity, we've forgotten our role in the system on the planet, and that we have a tendency to think that it's always about us as humans. It's about us individually first, and then it's about
right.
We're the greatest thing that ever happened in the universe. And said,
you said a great thing. It's like we're not the only species here. We're not the only one species on the earth. We're just one of the species on
and
the
I
earth.
Just would take exception to the hierarchy. I like the three kindnesses. I'm not sure I would have put them in that order. Is all.
Well, that's curious.
Well, that's
yeah.
That's
okay. Tell me why,
that.
Bob.
Well, like when you're flying with a child, mm-hmm. and the oxygen masks happen to fall down, mm-hmm. you put yours on first.
Mm-hmm.
So I would put me at the height at the top there,
right?
And then maybe other people, and then the planet.
Well, and this I love hearing this because this is like maybe a standpoint of it we've forgotten, right? So it's like where we are at the earth right now is that we're coming into a crisis with our planetary changes, food shortages, water supply. And I think it's because we haven't put the earth first. We think it's this unlimited resource, but it's actually our mom. It's our mother. And it's where we get all of our nutrients. It's where we've gotten our body. It's where we're formed. And so if we don't take heed of that, and we just use it, we end up destroying it and therefore destroying ourselves. So we have to kind of put it first.
The woman
at
that was
least
talking,
equal with ourself.
It was apparently no, it goes first. And the reason is, mm-hmm. and it did create a shift. The reason is because not unlike it is the overall system, and it is something that we're on it as. She pointed out like a in our system, like part of its immunity system. And so we're part of that, and we can either be good for the host. So the earth is hosting us. It's not the other way around. The earth is a live
an organism.
Organism that's hosting us, and we can't kill it. Otherwise, we're going with it. So we have to put the earth first. Not unlike a parasite in
right.
your body. It could be, well, not a parasite. Let me start. An organism in your body could be good for you, and it's there to be good for you. But when it starts to become toxic and starts to use up all your nutrients in your body, then it starts to become something that would be parasitic to you. Like if it's eating... let's just say an organism in your body was eating a hole through your intestines or something like mm-hmm. that. Then it starts to become something that's going to kill you instead of help you. So,
what I like about
does that make any sense, Bob? Bob?
Yeah, but I think we're talking about like at least two different levels of engagement. There's emergency, and then there's just the normal existence. And,
right.
And I think maybe that would change the hierarchy for me in different times. I mean, the normal existence, I'm going to try to make an effort, certainly, to put the planet very high.
Mm-hmm.
But if it came down to me dying or a part of the planet dying, I would take me first as keep me alive and the planet. I'll have to deal with that
and
later.
And it's a very primal instinct. You know, it is our survival mechanism. And I think it is, though, it's a fundamental flaw. Like, that's so natural. And what I loved what you said is that humans kind of come first. And you have to have this question of, well, you have to kind of be in a good state enough even to go garden, to go tend to your earth, to make the right choices. So the two kind of go hand in hand. But what you're saying is also, you know, so it is this primal response. And this is how we've been living our whole lives. And to a degree, just taking it for granted. But now that we're seeing our actions do have grave consequences, even the smallest everyday actions actually add up into sometimes insurmountable, like, oh dear, what are we up against? And I think when we were hearing this and looking at our planet, we kind of just started to realize, wow, I do resonate with these three kindnesses because we do need to start to make a change. And if we can adapt this naturally, which is not our normal inclination, if we can adapt it now, then maybe we can avoid crises. Like maybe we don't have to have the crisis happen to make the change. It's like if you can, in a way, it's maybe doing shadow work. When you can look at your own issues first, you don't have to have your fight with the partner to figure them out. You can take responsibility before
the
drama.
We don't have to wait for something bad to happen to realize this will affect us.
So I think this is how I understood it, is that when I saw this, I resonated so quickly because I do think it's a way of living that could help us advert these
crises. The three kindnesses, I liked it also because it's not anybody could practice this. It doesn't matter where you are or what religion or anything like that. It's really saying Earth first, because without the Earth, we're not going to
live.
Make it. We're not going to have anything hosting us. And that's why we would go second. Bob, I agree with you. There's a lot of taking care of yourself first, but a lot of people don't even take care of themselves, and we'll get to that in a second. And a lot of people don't take care of the other people in their community. But I liked that what this woman was pointing out is that if we keep digging and drilling and abusive agriculture where
dumping.
There's no nutrients left in the – apparently 25% of the tilling of the grounds, there's no nutrients left in the ground. Even if you grow a vegetable, it's not going to have the nutrients it needs to really make you healthy.
Right.
And then disposing of things in our watershed and just presuming there's a certain – I mean, we're human, so we don't understand what we don't see. When I lived in India, you could see the sewage go directly into the Arabian Sea, and you'd see the people swimming in it and the dogs getting covered. You see it there more overtly, and then you come back to the States, and you just – everything seems pretty good. You go into your job.
It's kind of hidden.
And you, how many billions – what was the – that you said of sewage gets processed?
I think it's about 34 to 38 billion – so it's waste – I'm trying to do this off the top of my head, people.
Oh, don't do that.
It's that,
billions of sewage that go out
what,
that we
water
just flush the toilet and see go
wasting
away.
Wasting facilities process about 34 billion tons of waste daily in the United States.
Well, and processing it should mean that it's done properly. I mean, there were systems put in place many, many years ago that allow it to be done properly, not the way you saw it depicted in India.
Right, but so then you have American companies going over to Peru to drill for oil. And
she knows Peru.
So I used to live in Peru. And it's kind of the wild, wild west out there. And they won't follow regulations if they don't have to, because it saves them an incredible amount of money.
Mm-hmm. They don't even have.
There's also, all right, so this is a great kind of thing to come up. So as we were talking about the Earth first, and that we were kind of parasites on the earth to a degree, when we forget that we're a natural part of the ecosystem. But then we started to kind of talk about capitalism and just our technologies and how they've benefited us incredibly so, and they can continue to help with the damage we've caused. But that the foundation of capitalism was kind of related to a parasite in a way. And just stick with us, guys. So coming back to some of these,
toxic.
Right? So some of these companies, when they're dumping like that. So let's see. I'm trying to pull up here. So capitalism is a grow or die system. So if accumulation declines, the result is an economic crisis. Capitalism is always trying to increase and increase. So this is off of an article that bear with me as I try to pronounce this guy's name, C.J. Polycroneal.
Oh, God.
who is a political economist.
Economist.
Thank you. And political scientist who has taught and worked in universities and research centers in Europe, wrote this article. And so he goes on saying capitalism. So we have the system of national or gross domestic product. So gross domestic product, GDP, is a broad measurement of our nation's overall economic activity. And it conceives progress only in terms of the cash that comes in, as opposed to what's benefiting the planet or what's benefiting the people. So if an oil tanker hits an iceberg, causing an oil spill, this actually increases the GDP due to all the cleanup costs, the insurance payments, the lawyer fees. And then they don't take into consideration what the oil spill did on the environment. So going on that same note, social and environmental costs are excluded from our national income. So capitalism, always focusing on growth, is ignoring the impact that it's having on us socially and environmentally. So the same thing goes that the growth of a forest adds nothing to the economic growth, but the cutting down of the forest does when you think about all the houses and the timber that it's going to provide for us. Just as a war that kills millions drives up the economic growth, it leads to faster growth afterwards because of the need to replace the capital that gets destroyed. The lives lost in the war, however, account for nothing in the economic growth. So this is where we see, like, putting the individual first, putting the businesses, putting the money, the human, this whole wheel that we're in, starts to become very detrimental to our life and to the earth.
The motivating force, the GDP that we look at for our well-being. She's taking her breath now. The motivating force, which we're looking at the GDP, or this the author is looking at the GDP, is saying it's capturing economics as our only
what
measurement
value
of success,
right?
Whereas it's not capturing the big picture, where you could be destroying aspects, or at least in the short term, and really not taking into consideration the well-being of the people in your society. What do you think of that, Bob? Let's go. We need some Bob in here.
I'd like to understand how we can then look at the way the Chinese handle the issues, because they don't do it any better.
Well, the Chinese actually don't care at all. They're on the same page, really.
You know, so I think part of the issue, I don't like looking upon us as purely money driven. I mean, yes, our businesses are looked on that way, and the way we make our money, our income, has to be built that way. But we're a democracy. We believe in the rights of the people.
I'm talking to the planet, even though we're only here in Greenwich.
Right. And so, again, this isn't to say this is all of us. This isn't just America.
Yeah,
I mean,
this is a
global issue, and it's not all businesses. Mm. But this is just the general foundation and substrate of, let's just say, the entity capitalism. And, like, going on that we don't really recognize how it's damaging the earth. I mean, just in the 2000s, there's been 115 oil spills. Just in the 2000s up to 2019. The Gulf of Mexico, which happened in 2004, that's still leaking today, which people just are so oblivious to that they don't put out in the news. That's massively affecting all of our food sources and shortages. So I think as we heard these kindnesses, it was just like, whoa, maybe if we start to live this way and we start to change, not thinking about the planet, like not thinking that, oh, it's just here. It's always been here. I come first. What I need comes first. Is that, wait, maybe we really do need to switch our mentality, which goes against our primal instinct and this thing that's just, again, like this wheel that's just been turning and turning for years. But maybe if we can switch this, we can make a real change, which we do see, and we'll get to, and not
probably,
make this a really
there is a necessity
depressing
for
show.
Well, no, it's not a depressing show. I wasn't trying, and I'm always trying to be very careful to bring up something that I think is healthy to hear about, but not put people on the defensive. So that's not the case. What I liked about it was the three kindnesses, put the earth first, take care of yourself, take care of the earth, take care of yourself, take care of others. I mean, this is something that's universal. Has universal acceptance. It makes a lot of sense. What this woman, she was an anthropologist, was pointing out, that we've been in such a survival mode for such a long time that we've become disconnected from how we fit into the larger planetary picture, mm-hmm. so that we're just trying to get by. And if we stop working for a second or start doing anything for a second, we're going to lose our security. But now we're starting to look around and really see that we're being affected by natural disasters. The mm-hmm. Earth will start to, not unlike the way your body would attempt to heal itself by having a flu or doing something to really clean you out,
yeah.
the Earth is starting to respond with weather changes and viruses and different things that she's
reflects
not going to sit there
and
let us just abuse her. She's going to start trying to heal herself. And so there are ways that we can start to at least start be conscious and say, how does this help the planet? Even if we just had that in the forefront of our mind, we might look at the things we're doing on a day-to-day basis, the organizations that we're purchasing from or mm-hmm. doing business with a little differently. That would encourage change. That would probably even drive up the GDP.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that I was reading the book this weekend by Michael Lewis. Do you know who Michael Lewis is?
No.
All right. He's an author. He's written a lot of good books, and I'm sure people in our audience have heard of him. He has a book out called The Fifth Risk, but the part that I'm going to bring up was he was talking to people that work for the weather systems in the government, and one of the women he was talking to there was pointing out that even though they can predict when tornadoes are about to hit, let's say in Kansas, right,
mm-hmm.
that there's certain towns that will respond immediately as the tornado warnings start to go off.
Yeah.
And there's another town right next to it that won't. And so the people at the weather, I forget the name of the weather services and the government, wanted to find out why people don't respond when they're being told something's going to happen to them. And so they dug in because they wanted to make sure they're going to set off alarms that people are responding. And they noticed that if you tell people too far ahead of when something's going to happen, they don't listen because they can't get their head around
something
that's
going to
happen
on Friday.
In the future.
It's Tuesday.
Yeah,
what are you
I'm
talking
busy
about?
Now. That's not gonna... But ultimately, the towns that did respond immediately to tornado warnings were the towns that had been hit by tornadoes before, because they had felt the devastation.
Yeah.
And the other people, and we are human, we don't think anything's going to hurt us.
Right.
Until it hurts us. So we keep going, well, it's not going to, that doesn't apply to me. That doesn't apply to me. But at some point, that school shooting or that destruction of something that you took for granted will come and affect you if you just keep neglecting. And there's probably... there are definitely things we can do as a culture to start to think we better start at least being conscious. You don't have to go crazy politically, but start being conscious of the fact that we could do a better job on a day-to-day basis with the amount of waste that we create
mm-hmm.
and also the way we deal with companies and things like that.
Well, I've always had an issue with the climate change model as an indication of something we've done bad to the planet. But when I hear the stories about the islands of plastic in the ocean,
mm-hmm.
I say, okay, now that really points up a big mistake.
Yeah.
Right.
We need to stop doing that.
When I didn't know right away that plastic wasn't recyclable. Even as a teenager, I was just thinking, oh, they're just going to recycle it. They're going to reuse it.
Well,
they're going to reuse it.
It bothers me a little when you say that, too, because it's made of oil. I mean, we can't recycle oil.
Yeah.
Oil. We got the oil out of the ground. Can't we put the oil back in the ground? What the heck is the problem here?
It doesn't work that way.
It doesn't, strangely.
So, yeah, it's making these small choices of switching from, like, plastic to a cardboard water bottle, aluminum cans.
The toxicity of it comes in when you – something is good until you start to realize it's no longer good. So when we first got plastic, it's amazing, and it's altering life on the planet. But at some point when you realize, okay, it's no longer good because it's become toxic for the planet, or even if you're eating something or drinking something,
that's
it becomes toxic.
Too much water,
too much.
You're going to vomit. You're going to literally puke it out. Too much of anything. I'm speaking this by experience. Too much of anything is not good for you. And I love what you were saying is that, you know, it really does kind of take the experience to be able to resonate with something and want to have motivation for it. And so it's like, how can we kind of open ourselves up to not need the experience to keep ourselves alert? And it is a challenge, but it's also recognizing that these occurrences aren't happening far away. It's like, you know, you may think water pollution is a problem somewhere else, but meanwhile, potentially harmful contaminants from arsenic, copper,
the article in front of me. Cancer-causing contaminants found in Connecticut water.
And found in tap water in all of the states of the United States.
Well, I'm going to read some
of
these.
Can we take a quick break and then back to this? I'm aware
today.
Of we need a traffic report and weather report, and we have to get some stuff.
Can do that in 15 minutes.
Bob, we'll do this to appease you because you have been so helpful to us on the expert panel tonight. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Come on back. This is Defy and Hustle Radio.
We still have a lot of traffic out there. In fact, a 47-minute ride northbound on the Merritt Parkway from the state line and right on up to Route 7. And if you're traveling the northbound Connecticut Turnpike, we're down to about a 36-minute ride from the state line up to Route 7. You can change the world for a child in extreme poverty through Compassion International. Just text CHILD to 83393 to find out how. I'm Jay Trelace, 1490 Traffic Center.
From the WGCH Weather Center.
Increasing cloudiness, a late shower tonight, 50 to 55. Tomorrow, partly sunny, highs in the upper 60s. Few evening showers and thunderstorms, then mostly cloudy, lows 55 to 60 tomorrow night. Friday, mostly sunny, breezy, highs 70 to 75. Want your kids to grow and share their talents with professional artists this summer? YPI Summer Camp for the Creative Arts offers 1 or 2 week workshops in writing, visual, and performing arts. YPICamp.org. I'm meteorologist Ryan Gallagher on 1490 WGCH.
What if I told you I could change your life in just 100 days? This is Noreen Ehrlich from Defy and Hustle Radio. I'm an executive coach based in Greenwich, Connecticut. For over 2 decades, I worked as a CFO and leader in Wall Street's fast-paced private equity industry. I helped guide teams of professionals to improve their careers, grow their businesses, and still maintain work-life balance. Based on this know-how and my unique understanding of life's principles, I created a 100-day plan that will unquestionably up-level your life. Make 2019 your year. You can and deserve to have it all. Don't wait. Take advantage of my free 50-minute consultation by visiting my website at NoreenEhrlich.com or calling me at 475-333-2173.
Sister, don't punish me, sister, with brutality. Sister, talk to me, sister, so you can see. Sister, oh, what's going on?
What's going on?
What's going on?
What's going on?
Yeah, what's going on?
Hi, everybody.
That's what we're asking. What's going on?
What is going on, Bob? And we're blaming Bob for it all, too.
Uh-oh. So
that's Bob Small. He's the operation manager here at WGCH in beautiful Greenwich. And I'm glad you're here talking with us tonight because we don't want to sound like we're preaching at you. I'm just trying to inspire somebody.
I'd love to hear new ideas about how we can embrace the planet in a more reasonable way. You know,
right? It's like, how can I make a change?
All my lifestyle and approach and change completely, and still be told that that's not going to be enough. Because I hear that all the time.
Right. Well, so everyone, we're coming back in talking about the three kindnesses, and this got us. So be kind to the earth, earth first. Be kind to yourself, the individual, and then be kind to others. And it's gotten us on this long discussion of where we are planetarily.
I'm here to back her up on.
So when we've talked from capitalism to water, and this is Bob then having those questions, and I agree with you. It's like it's not expected. No one can just radically make a life change, but we can look at the small things again from like, oh, you know what? I'm going to try to not get the plastic bottle water. I'm going to look for aluminum cans or cardboard boxes.
I have to go out and research it, but I did hear a lot of the recycling that goes on, and we feel good about ourselves, and we've got 3 different colored garbage pails outside our door.
Yeah.
A lot of the recycling isn't even being used and recycled back into something useful. I'll have to go back and look at that, but that the efforts are I think it's going to be, the efforts are stalling a bit, but I do, I'm always inspired by the generations that are coming in, because I feel like they're just so much more enlightened and,
you know,
more able to see things that...
When we had to separate all of our recycling, uh-huh. you know, the different types of plastic had to be mm-hmm. in different containers, I really felt like I was doing something.
You feel
and
good.
Then the single stream came along and I went like, oh, single stream, well, why, that seems easier.
What's
well,
the
now we're discovering...
Stream?
Nothing's
well, that means all the
done.
Recycling goes into one container.
Oh, I see, I see.
You know,
see.
Cardboard, plastic, bottles, mm-hmm. everything. And now we find out that the plastic bags that we thought, well, it's no problem, they can recycle the plastic bags. No, they can't recycle the plastic bags. Mm-mm. This is why we're all getting rid of plastic bags and not using them.
I guess so.
Trying to, anyway.
I don't know exactly. I really don't know the answers. Other than, you know, just like anything else, we'd have to start to insist upon it. But I think as we start to insist upon it, with only then are you going to get corporations and the powers that be to change. And I understand that won't even be easy, because there's a lot of sociopaths running this world, apparently, mm-hmm. if you haven't turned on the news lately. But there's people that really don't care about the long-term effects of the planet, and most of them are the types that are in charge.
Oh, yeah, we're
and
definitely
that's why they're
a short-term
successful.
Instant gratification
and
society.
Disconnection was the what the woman who was talking about the three kindnesses that I saw on YouTube, she's an anthropologist, but she was talking about the common theme.
But I do like that term, kindnesses.
The three kindnesses.
Mm-hmm. As opposed to like three requirements.
Right. It was just a three lens kindnesses. To start to look through that would yeah. start to really alter the success of our planet and mm. even our own personal success and the success of our communities. It moved me enough that I wanted to dedicate a show to it. But she was talking about something that I'm sure that our audience can relate to, which is disconnection. So we're disconnected from our role on the planet. Mm-hmm. We're disconnected from ourselves in many ways, and our own needs and our own inner pollution sometimes, and we need to clean that up mm-hmm. and take care of ourselves better, because we have a tendency to abuse ourselves. We all know that. And then we also have a tendency to abuse the people around us or mm-hmm. disregard them mm-hmm. and not really think that on the greater whole we band together. Easier
right.
said than done, folks.
Well,
I'll pass it over to Kelly.
And it definitely all starts with ourselves. So like be kind to yourself. And as you were talking, I was just looking at my own life, and I was thinking about that disconnect, and I was thinking lately I had just felt really disconnected, and that we often do, like, these are huge topics that when you really research them and dive into it, affect your heart, affect, you know, they're stressful and
what,
they're overwhelming.
The topics
of crises, of food shortages, of the water supply, of, you know, global, of all the species that are dying off the planet. You know, it just starts to get overwhelming, and our lives are really stressful enough, and we want to take this on. And so most people, we just, it's too much. We shut down, and we have to avoid it and go into denial to a degree just to be able to get through the day without feeling like, what's the point?
Right.
And so often, you know, people start drinking. Some people, unfortunately, go to drugs, and that just continues to numb us. And so when it comes on your screen of how many people were killed or who's starving in the world, it doesn't hit you.
Oh, you get dumbed down to right. just even in just put on the news any day. It's so insane. And we're actually getting used to, or you're used to insane. It's just like mm-hmm. every time you put on the news, there's a
but
crazier,
so, and you
crazier
become
story.
Kind of numb to it. And I've noticed connecting with myself. So even in this last week, I've specifically just took the time to remove myself from the world and spend more time with me and just sit with myself, see what's going on, say, hey, Kelly, how you feeling? And it was being kind to myself. It was saying, hey, you come first. I want to check in with you. How you doing? And as I did that, I started to feel good. I started to feel great. I felt more self-love. And I also noticed, though, that I became more sensitive. I became more aware of everyone around me and the environment and what's going on in the world, and realized, okay, this is something I have to manage and deal with. And I see how easy it is to want to disconnect from that, but I also know how important it is to be connected to it. And as I connect with myself, you know, I'll still get annoyed when people don't put their blinkers on driving, like, big pet peeve of mine. But I'm not, like, aggro about it. I'm not getting in anyone's face. And so the kinder I am to myself, the more I want to listen to other people, the more I want to hear what's going on. And I just make good choices. I make those good choices for myself, for my planet, and then for my community. So this totally resonates with me. I'm
Sounds
feeling
like
these three kindnesses right
now.
Being
a good support person to yourself.
Amen.
It's true. Well, if you think about it, we give our power away to other people very quickly. And so we don't take care. We don't put our needs first. Actually, I'm changing, but I've don't eat right a lot of the time. Like, I will avoid eating, not avoid eating on purpose, but the day starts out.
Coffee.
And so I go get my coffee that I love, but I'll not eat breakfast. And then I go and when I switch out of coffee, I'll switch over to maybe some lunch. Now I have lunch. I'm very good, right?
But I make sure she gets her shake.
Just put lunch in front of me like a dog and then I eat it. But then I start drinking Coca-Cola. You think about the abuse we just do to our bodies, and then if you think about like being in unhealthy relationships, whether that's at work or in your personal life, where you're hurting yourself and you're staying in situations that aren't serving you way too long, which we can all relate to, this is another way we have to start to look to honor ourselves and say, what am I doing here? Am I getting back? Is there reciprocity between what I'm giving and what I'm getting back? And too often we don't set that kind of guideline to know whether a situation is good for us, and we set the bar way too low.
Or we do. Like, I kind of think I call bullshit on it sometimes. Sorry, everybody.
Kelly, you're off the show.
I feel that they know instantaneously when they're doing something right for them or wrong for them. When they've met someone that they actually feel a connection with or they don't. And they either listen to it or they just ignore it. And so many of us just ignore it. We all just kind of settle, ignore it, pass it over, and just get on with life.
Oh, we start blaming other people. Like, I blame Bob for everything that's going on at the show. Right, Bob?
I've got wide shoulders.
No, but actually, we start blaming other people. So if you think about your
anyway.
Spouse or your boss or your coworkers or things like that, you start
right.
We as a culture, we start attacking each other instead of
because I think when you do that, it's because you're feeling weak. You think you don't have enough strength yourself. You need to get rid of some of this stuff that feels like it's too much of a burden. And
vomit it over anybody
else. I don't even know that some people aren't even, at least you, in that situation, Bob, you at least know that maybe you're passing it off onto somebody else.
Most people, it's not even where you're doing it.
Most people are still, we all do it, but some people more conscious than others. We just start projecting our stuff onto other people, telling them, you know, other cultures, other people in our lives.
Other drivers
that don't put their blinkers on. Then we start
even
attacking
the cops.
Them.
The cop the other day, I was just like, really, man? Come on.
Well, really? So it was about a disconnection with yourself and with the community around you. So Kelly, what can we start to do? Because it's easy for us to get up here and talk. I just wanted people to, if I get one person that's listening to start to potentially look through this lens, I do think that there's only something healthier that says we're here. We're on a planet. Let's take care of the planet. What can I do differently? And what can I do differently today to take care of myself? And what can I do differently to take care of the people around me?
And recognize that you're just one person.
Yeah, you're just one person. And I think what's so awesome about the human heart and spirit is that so often when we do feel these things, we really do want to fix it. Like, we get so motivated, like, yeah, I want to make the change. But it's like we take on so much. We just feel so much. We envision so much. And we set ourselves up for failure because it's just way too much for one person to fix while they have all these other jobs and families and responsibilities. But you asking me, you know, what's one thing just an individual to do, and let's just stay on, like, you know, being kind to yourself as the person – that's not really for me to answer. You know, I only know myself. And so the best advice I could give on that is ask the question. You know, questions are so powerful and they can really penetrate any energy, any field. And so by asking the question, it opens up for you to receive the answer. So it's simple as, what can I do to show kindness to myself today?
Mm-hmm.
And I would put $100 on the table to say you're going to get an answer. And it might even be as simple as like taking a shower or doing the laundry. But then just do it. You know? And if you do it, you're going to receive that kindness and it's going to build in you and build in you until it starts overflowing. And you can start to then give to your community.
Well, Bob's he's thinking that one over. Well, they do say when you get triggered, you know, something triggers you and you start getting angst around it, that if you can stay conscious and also look at that part of you that's gotten triggered, which we have the ability to separate and look inside of ourselves and see, oh, wait a minute, something happened that made me upset, right? So, I had to look at the gentleman I'm going out with went away this weekend, and I got a little triggered by it because I wasn't fully invited. And I really had to go inside and talk to that part of myself that was upset, because you learn that what's getting you triggered today is typically related to something that happened a really long time ago, mm-hmm. and that there's a part of you that's still alive in there, that sort of energetic field that will emerge and overtake you. And that's how come people, that's why people are losing their tempers, you know, and in some cases, if it's really out of control and you're not conscious, so you started attacking people and right. killing people and things like that. So if you can slow down, well, I do have a certification in emotional mastery. If you can slow down and even be with that part of you that's been triggered and just be there with it, or ask, as Kelly was saying, what is it that's happening? What is it you need? Is there something that you need me to talk about or say or something, mm-hmm. so that you can start to have this part of yourself get used to you, the adult, handling it differently, yeah. instead of just letting it get triggered each time. So maybe there's some other way as an adult that you can start to handle this situation that would help you to take better care of that other part of yourself, because yeah. we really have other parts of ourselves that are alive inside of us in addition to the one that's pretty much
leading
the show.
Thank you so much for sharing that and being vulnerable. No, it's awesome. And I think, you know, having those discussions publicly and out in the open, it allows others to do so and say it's totally natural and 100% okay to do so. And I also notice that myself. It's like if a trigger comes, one, it's yours. And so take responsibility. Anything you're feeling in your body, it's yours. And only you
right.
are responsible to tend
you
to it and deal with it.
You are responsible to stay in the happiest, healthiest place. Speaking of linear things to follow, you are responsible to stay in your happiest, healthiest place as you can. And then do everything else in life. So that's the other thing we'll tell you. I don't
right.
know if that's three kindnesses, but you do
yeah.
do your best
just,
to keep your frequency, your energy level up at the highest. I don't mean
yeah.
running around.
I get a little nervous saying that, just because then people put these huge pressures on themselves. And it's like you literally can't sustain the chemical reaction of joy constantly. You're gonna ebb and flow,
right?
But when you're gentle with yourself, when you embrace anything that's arising, that's being kind to yourself, and that naturally provides well-being, that naturally uplifts you. And then also, if you can do that for yourself and you've practiced that so often, you're just naturally going to do it for your community and the people around you,
right? Once you clean up your own house, then you can relate to people on a different level, because you can't have, if you're not loving yourself, you can't love another person fully, because you won't. Again, it comes down to that reciprocity. You can't give to somebody something that you're not able. You don't have.
Yeah.
If you don't have something, you think about it in terms of a material thing. I can't give it to you. I can't
if
give
I
you my this eyeglass case if I don't have it.
I can't give you my Lamborghini if it's not in my parking lot.
Kelly's Lamborghini that she's driving around with behind people that don't turn on the lights. But
so I think this does, I mean, it starts to bring us into communities. Like, so
right.
once you're filled up on this kindness, it brings us back in to be kind to others. And we started this show off kind of diving into some of the crises happening on the earth. I mean, we spoke a little to capitalism, but some oil spills. And I think, again, this happened to me. I mean, like, Noreen came into my office today and I just dumped on her. I'd been like researching just all, and this isn't
researching the earth.
Yeah, research for me, but just seeing all the oil spills, the endangered species list, the climate changes, all the deaths that are happening, the war, the starving children. And she came in and I was like, we're
such
all
uplifting shows.
Beep. You know? And Kelly, I really, really dumped on her. And it, so I'd love to come back and say there's actually incredible things happening on this earth today. And with people being aware of this and making change, we've taken animals off the endangered species list. But coming into how we are a part of the ecosystem and being kind to the earth is this first kindness. As we begin to see that, we see there's this great guy. So let me figure out how I'm going to share this with you guys. There's this great guy. He's a mycologist, Paul Stamets, who works with mycelium. So mycelium is fungi. And mycelium is found in outer space. It's found in the depths of the sea. And it basically is the network that connects all the plants.
I'm looking at a picture. It looks like mushrooms. Ecosystem.
So he does tons of research, and he's been doing this since the 70s. And they've discovered that some mycelium, like the oyster mushrooms, they can actually clean up oil spills. Their enzymes actually eat diesel, petroleum, some even radioactive isotopes. And when we had that oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico in 2004, mycelium that they'd never seen before spontaneously appeared and started cleaning it. So like the earth really does know how to heal itself, but we also need to aid her. And so they're doing really cool work of inoculating the earth in places of nuclear waste and, again, where these oil spills are to help clean up the environment. So there's great things happening. But what I loved about this is that when you think of a forest and there's some of the trees, let's just say in the center, are actually in a drought and some on the periphery are rich with water, they're communicating with each other through the mycelium. And the well-nourished, hydrated trees can actually send water, and they send the water through the mycelium to the trees that are in drought. And the whole ecosystem works in cooperation, and it betters all of life. Ha! Huh? And so I just thought it was a great metaphor for what happens when we start to be kind to ourselves and then to our communities, and that network that begins to strengthen, and how you start to know everyone around you, and that businesses start working together instead of against each other, and mom and pop shops can flourish, and everyone can start to succeed as a whole.
And when she was describing this story to me about the mushroom that goes out and looks at the greater whole of what's happening around it because it's created this connection, it reminded me of the way we look at the business and when we're working with our clients. I try to get my clients out of their business to look at their business as one giant, well, I don't want to say organism, but it is
an
like
organism,
a machine.
Yeah.
So that you can tell as the leader, you can tell when something's going wrong within a certain part of your business and start to go in there automatically before it gets too far out of alignment with the purpose of the organization. You can go in there and start to fix it, whether it's in your client fulfillment department or it's in your operations or it's in your...
This has been a fascinating show.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you shutting us off the air?
Yeah. No. We need to take another break.
The show's
before
almost
the,
over.
I know.
Should we just finish the show? Give us
a
few more
minutes. Need to get these traffic reports.
Bob's the stickler for this traffic and weather report.
Yeah,
let's hear it.
All right, folks. We'll be back.
We still have a lot of traffic out there. In fact, a 47-minute ride northbound on the Merritt Parkway from the state line and right on up to Route 7. And if you're traveling the northbound Connecticut Turnpike, we're down to about a 36-minute ride from the state line up to Route 7. You can change the world for a child in extreme poverty through Compassion International. Just text CHILD to 83393 to find out how. I'm Jay Trelace, 1490 Traffic Center.
From the WGCH Weather Center.
Increasing cloudiness, a few rain showers developing late tonight, lows 50 to 55. Clouds and partial sunshine tomorrow, highs 65 to 70. A cold front will move through with a few evening showers and thunderstorms tomorrow night, then remaining mostly cloudy, lows 55 to 60. Friday, mostly sunny, breezy, highs 70 to 75. Sunshine to more clouds Saturday with a high near 70. I'm meteorologist Ryan Gallagher on 1490 WGCH.
Are you a business owner who's suffering from what I call the entrepreneur's dilemma? That means you have a successful business, but you're so caught up in operations that you are overwhelmed, maybe you're capital constrained, or you just know that you can scale your business to another level, but you need help doing that. This is Noreen Ehrlich from Defiant Hustle Radio. I'm an executive coach based in Greenwich, Connecticut. For over two decades, I worked as a CFO and CPA in Wall Street's fast-paced real estate private equity industry, where I helped start up and turn around hundreds of underperforming businesses. Based on this know-how, I created a 100-day plan that I tailor to your business to make sure that you streamline operations, drive performance, and generate profits fast. Don't wait. Take advantage of my free 50-minute consultation by visiting my website at noreenerlich.com or by calling me at 475-333-2173.
Escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate. You know we've got to find a way.
Hi everybody, welcome back to Defiant Hustle Radio. This is Noreen, and so I was just talking about the greater whole. So if you look at your business, and this is the way I learned it in private equity, when the private equity teams would go in and consider which businesses to purchase and turn around, they're looking at the greater whole, and they're looking at whether it's the leadership in the business or it's the way they convert clients or convert customers, or you're looking at the greater whole of the business, and you're figuring out which parts of it have gone awry, and you start putting them back together based on the order of priority. So I just thought that that's the same thing that Kelly was talking about, that these mushrooms start
absolutely.
To do, and they start to clean up the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
So
speaking of the ocean,
so we're talking about the three kindnesses, Earth, Mother Earth first, yourself second, and the community third.
Mm-hmm.
But hopefully they're all close
and
together.
Take it anyway, you know, like listeners, if you think the community should come first, yourself second, or the earth second and you last, you, as long as you're being kind to everyone, I can get behind
we
that.
Just want you to be kind. But we started out the story talking about floating cities where retirees are going on to cruise ships, and for $40,000 or $20,000, or they're going on cruise ships for up to a year and just getting all their long-term care needs met and their social needs met. And so I was doing a little homework with Kelly on the ecosystem, and we do have floating cities not too far in front of us, and you've seen it a little bit if you look off the coast of I used to do some work out of Dubai. You can see some of the ways they're creating cities out of the sand there. But now scientists from Oceanics, a company called Oceanics, are working with green technologies to deal with the climate and the rising sea levels. And these ocean cities will be sustainable as the climate changes, and the buildings will be made of timber from sustainable forests. There'll be greenhouses, vertical farms, underwater gardens, renewable power sources like wind and solar, sewage and waste recycling systems, and desalination plants to provide potable water. And they are happening sooner than you think, so they're making a prototype for it. This is, I'm reading from an article that was out in April of 2019. The prototype should be taking weeks to put out, and they're going to, this is my last sentence, and they're going to, we're going to have floating cities soon. So this is one of the positives. That's it.
Thanks for joining our show and tuning in. This has been really interesting
and
kind of fun to
Kelly's
go.
Very pensive
I think
today.
I'm slightly traumatized, but
and
I'll be kind to myself later.
Did we get you to think at all, Bob?
I'm always thinking.
Oh, my God. Is that why there's smoke coming out of your ears?
That's it.
All right, folks. Thank you very much for hearing us out today, and we look forward to having you on next week when we have our guest. She's a business owner, and she'll be talking about our products from Menagerie. She's going to tell us how it's done.
Do you have her name?
I forget.
Pamela Vigilio.
Yeah, Pamela.
Oh, nice mm-hmm. name. I like that.
Pamela Vigilio.
Okay.
Thanks, everybody.
Don't punish me with brutality. Come on, talk to me.
You're listening to the Voice of Greenwich, 1490 WGCH Greenwich.
The I Word. I'm Barbara Cusack. Federal Judge Edgardo Ramos refused to block congressional subpoenas seeking.